Well, good evening. Nice to see everyone out tonight. And if you have your Bibles, I get you to turn to the first chapter of Job. And Job chapter 1. Now, we're pretty familiar with this chapter, most of us, I'm sure, but it's always a good thing to read it again. I want to read chapter 1. And there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright and one who feared God and shunned evil. So we learn a lot about Job right there in one verse. And he had 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also, 3 is all about his wealth. And he was a very wealthy man. Verse 4, now his sons would go and feast in their houses and each on his appointed day and would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. So it was, when the days of feasting had run their course, that Job would send and sanctify them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did this regularly. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. So the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has in your power, only do not lay on his person. Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. So let's just stop there and consider a few things. I just recently went through Job, and I took notes on what Job knew and what Job didn't know. And then what did Job learn? So I just went through the chapters. And to be honest, I'm not big on poetry, okay? Some of you are, like poetry, not me. That part of my brain don't work. But I really love the book of Job. And because there's so much here, and when you look at it, Job, first of all, it's the time in which he lives. If you look at it, and again, not everybody knows who wrote Job. Was it Moses? Was it Job himself? Was it one of his so-called buddies? I don't know. We're not told who wrote the book. Some said, I read a commentary that said that maybe Solomon wrote the book of Job. I don't know. But what always interests me when I read Job is, for a man that lived in the times that he did, and many have said, if you read commentaries, again, not exact, but probably lived because of his age and how long he lived, and you look at Terah, for example, Abraham's father lived about the same amount of time. And, you know, again, if you read that, well, he probably lived at the time of the patriarchs, like Abraham. So keep that in mind, because when you read the book of Job and you read after you get out of chapter one and then his three buddies show up, you realize that these people, I mean, the amount of knowledge that they had was incredible. It really was. I mean, these weren't, you know, hillbillies, if you know what I mean. Even back in the day, this debate that goes on in Job is probably one of the greatest debates of all time. It really is. And you get in and they go back and forth, but these are not stupid men. They are highly, highly intelligent men. And what amazes me when I read Job is how much he knew. How much he knew. What did Job know? Well, look at verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright and one who feared God and shunned evil. Now, we don't know what Job's background was. We know what Abraham's background was. Abraham came out of a pagan home, and God called him out of it. So we don't know exactly how Job had this fear of the Lord. He really did. Look at what it says. It says he was blameless, upright, and Job understood this. One thing Job understood, it was worth it living for God. I mean, that's a lesson. He realized it's worth it living for God. Job was living for the next world. And, you know, he was upright, blameless, and God took notice of him. And Christian, this is a good lesson for us. Job was serious about the things of God. Look at, I just bring you to chapter 31. Just go there for a minute and look at what Job says. This really spoke to me when I read it, you know, several years ago. But every time I read it, I realize the seriousness of Job. And what did I just say? Chapter 31. Look what he says, verse 1. I've made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? He made a covenant. Job was serious with God. You want to be serious with God? Make a covenant with God. You know what? People, they get in front of a minister or whatever, and they say something, and it's an oath. Much different than just, you know, I promise you. No. That's different. An oath or a covenant is much different. Because I'm making a covenant with you in marriage. I try and remind people of that when they're getting married. And God's in on this thing. And when you say something publicly, you're saying it to God. And I make a covenant that through thick and thin, I'm in. Huh, that rhymes. I like that. Right? Through thick and thin, I'm in. I mean it. And God takes that seriously. And here's Job in his life, and I wish men would take this more seriously. Job made a covenant with his eyes not to look lustfully at another woman. Now, I'll tell you, we live in a world that it's visual on steroids, true or false? Yeah, come on. On your phone, you don't have to go anywhere. Nobody has to know. Right? Nobody has to know. How many men I've talked to that their lives were coming apart at the seams because of habits they had. And didn't make a covenant with these eyeballs of ours. And God takes that seriously. And Job took that seriously. Look what he knew at the time of Abraham, maybe. Think about that. What did he know? And it's incredible. It says, too, that Job knew the importance of prayer. Job was an intercessor. And last Sunday night, I don't know if you remember, but we were talking about prayer with Dave Dunlop, right? And he talked about the importance of prayer, the seriousness of prayer, and it was a tremendous message. And I got to tell you something. One of the things that I have the most difficulty with is prayer. And why would that be? Why would that be? Well, everything you own of your old man, the flesh, your enemy, the devil, fights prayer. Because prayer works. Prayer works. But Job was a man of prayer. He says he rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of his kids, and he prayed and he prayed. You know, one lesson that we do learn in Job, and Job learned this, but it took him the whole way through to learn it. God writes the last chapter of your life. God writes that. And so you're here tonight, and maybe things, you know, in your home, or maybe you have kids that are gone astray, or maybe, you know, there's someone that you love that's not saved or whatever. I just encourage you, God writes the last chapter. For us, pray. Don't give up. Don't give up hope, because God writes the last chapter. Job found that out. In spite of everything that went on, even in this first chapter, Job found out at the end, God writes the last chapter. So Christian, remember that. It's very practical. Remember that. God writes the last chapter. Don't write people off. Job knew that living for God was worth it. Job knew the importance of prayer. He knew that his soul was worth more than his livelihood. Look what it says. And we didn't read it, but if we'd have gone to 21, and he said, "Naked I come from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." You know, look, it's just I don't know the counsels of God. We know that this book is in the Bible. And how many millions and millions and millions of people have read this book in their darkest time and have been encouraged by it? But Job said this. He understood this. Think of the time in which he lived. He understood this. When I die, I came into this world naked. When I go out of here, no U-Hauls at the end of a hearse. There's none. Imagine at the time he was living, and he said, "No, I'm going to be naked. I come into the world, and naked I will leave, and blessed be the name of the Lord." You know why? Because Job had his perspective right, didn't he? Again, living for the next world. And you know what Jesus said? "What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul?" He calls that person a fool. A fool. The world thinks he's a hero. And he might have his name on buildings. or streets named after him or whatever, but God calls him a fool. You put all your eggs in this basket. You didn't put it in the next world's basket. Job, what did he know? What Job didn't know, a couple of things that he didn't know. Job didn't know about this spiritual battle. Job didn't have Ephesians chapter 6 like we, you, and I do. So we know, right, that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Job didn't know that. There's no sense as you read these 42 or so chapters that Job knew anything, really. Maybe he did, but if it is, I couldn't find it. It looks like Job didn't understand that he had another enemy. He didn't understand spiritual warfare. And you know what, Christian? To be honest, most of us, we don't understand it either. Because we're not ready for it. You have an enemy. He hates your guts. You've got a target on your back. You're his enemy. And so often, we don't even think of that. And I don't want you to, you know, spend the next, every moment of your day thinking about your enemy. I don't want that. I'm not asking you to do that. And I talk louder because I'm trying to get my attention. No, but you do have an enemy. And he goes about like a roaring lion, the Bible says. And you know what? One thing about Satan, he even says it here. Satan doesn't know everything because he didn't know. He said, look, I'm going to tell you about Job. You know, the only reason Job is faithful to you, God, is because you put a hedge around him. You protect him. That's why. Otherwise, you see, because Satan, he's probably thinking, in between the lines, I know what Adam and Eve were like. How did I get them? Unhappy puppy. Right? Just show them, you know what, Adam and Eve? You're missing out. God is holding back. Be an unhappy puppy. And isn't that so diagnostic of the problems that often you and I will have? We become ungrateful. And that's what Satan was saying to Job. He said, you know, well, you put a hedge around him, but take the hedge away and you let me get at him for a bit. And I'll show you what Job is really like. He just like Adam and Eve. They're not, you'll find out, not happy because circumstances were not going to go his way anymore. And he's rich and he's healthy and he's wealthy and he's happy. And wait a minute, let me take all that away. Say the carpet. And you watch what Job does. That's what Satan was saying to God. And Christian, we need to be careful we don't fall into that trap. Putting our eggs in this basket, thinking that you deserve to be healthy, wealthy, and happy. That's not in the Bible. It's not in my Bible. One thing Jesus promised you. Can I tell you what he promised? Here's a promise. So he's got a lot of promises for you. Here's one. In this world, you, meaning, you know what the Greek word for you is? You. You will have trouble. Hello? Trouble. Well, isn't it good? If you have that expectation, hey, this world, not my home, this world, trouble. Look what Job said. Job 14 and 1. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it to you. Man who is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Even Job knew that way back then. Life is short, full of trouble. Better to have that Better to have the truth. Better to be ready for that. It's better. And Job didn't know that. He knew about the shortness of life, and he knew about trouble. But I think Job's theology might have been, look, here's another thing, or a thing that Job found out. Job found out that good friends are not easy to find. Because his friends, they were really good for 7 days. The first week, they shut up. The second week, they opened their mouths, and they thought they had the gift of discouragement. I didn't read that in the spiritual gifts. You? I didn't read that. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, let us, what? Encourage one another even more so as we see the day approaching. See, Job's friends, intellectual giants. They were intellectual giants, but they were discouragers. And they didn't know about the background of this story. They were sure betting. If they were betting, what's that new betting thing on the game? 360 or betting 365? What is it? Betting what? You guys shouldn't know this. 365. If you were betting 365, okay? these guys had no idea what happened, why Job was being tested. They thought they did. Job, going to tell you why. 100% for sure. Job, you sinned. And as the dialogue gets along, you read about it. It goes and goes and goes. They start off, yeah, Job, you're a sinner. Yeah, Job goes, I'm a sinner, but I don't understand what's happening between me and God right now. I don't get it. But they went on and say, Job, you have a lot of hidden sin in your life. And that's why you're suffering, Job. They were sure of it. You know what? Can I say something about friends? If you meet someone that's got all the answers and all the pat answers to your questions and your troubles, run, Forrest, run. You know what I mean by that? How come you guys know that? Okay. Run, Forrest, run. Because if they got all the answers, run. And you see, what Job didn't know was that trials in his life, trials in your life, are meant for something. Now, they're not always. Sometimes we go through trials because of our own sin, right? God's got to give us a spanking on the bum-bum, right? Got to wake us up. And we sin. We go astray. As a matter of fact, it says in Psalm 119 and 65, I think, it says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Right? And sometimes, I remember my sister telling me, 35 years old, stomach cancer, terminal, stage 4. And she sat down with me after getting the diagnosis, and she said, Tony, God had to get my attention. A couple of years before that, we had baptized her. A couple of years before that, Renee, my sister, was living for the Lord. And then she went off the rails. And as a matter of fact, Rosie and I used to talk about this. I wonder if she really was saved, because she just went off the rails. It wasn't pretty. But when she got sick, she said to me, and I think to Rosie was there too, she said, God had to get my attention. And God got her attention. Sometimes suffering is about that. Sometimes trials in our lives are there because we we did it. And God's going to get our attention. If you belong to God, I'm going to say something. If you belong to God, really belong to Him, and you're a child of God, a loving father will what? Discipline you. That's one. That's possible, right? So look at a trial, and, you know, it's good to examine things. You're going through something very difficult. It's not a bad thing to go through and look at your life and say, you know what? I deserve that. I needed that. And it's bringing me back to God. Good. But this wasn't the case with Job, was it? Job couldn't figure it out. One, that he had an enemy. And two, that trials, I mean, how many millions and millions of people will read the book of Job because of what he went through and will be encouraged? See, trials, look at Paul. Paul gets caught up into the third heaven. Remember that story? And when he comes back, he said, whether in my body or whether or not, I don't know, all I know, I was there. And he said, I saw things there and heard things there that I can't even describe to you. But he said, right away, what happened? A messenger of Satan came, and God allowed it, and pierced him. With what? I'm not sure. Was it physical? I think so, but I'm not sure of that. All I know is Paul said, Lord, please take this away from me. Three times he prayed. Lord, take it away. Please, 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 please. Because it was terrible suffering. In which way, I'm not quite sure. But I know this. You know what the Lord said to Paul? My grace is sufficient for thee. And Paul knew that that was good for him. Because it, number one, it kept him humble. And two, it kept him very close to God. He said, if that's the case, Lord, I'm good with it. That's what he said. He said, God, no matter what he was suffering, he said, I'm good with it. Because if that's what you're doing with me, and you say, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul said, okay. Lord, I'd rather be weak, he said, than live in my own strength and my own flesh and live, than not live close to you. I want to be close to you and live with God's power. That's exactly what Paul. And what did Jesus say, by the way, about trial? Because the disciples, you got to understand, it's a Jewish economy they're still in, right? The Lord's economy. You're rich? Why are you rich? Because God's blessing you, right? You're healthy? Why are you healthy? Because God's blessing you. And that was their theology. They could not, you know, because when, remember the rich guy? Remember the rich young ruler? He comes to Jesus, came to the right guy, right? Came to the right guy, bowed down to, and he said, hey, Jesus, what do I got to do to get into heaven? And you can imagine this, his disciples are around him. And Jesus says, well, keep the commands. He said, oh, I have. No, he hadn't. But in his mind, he had. He didn't keep the commandment. He didn't keep the first one. Love your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. He loved his money more than he loved God. He didn't know that. But God was sort of pointing it out to him. He said, go sell all you have. Sell it all and come follow me. And he went away sad. But you know his disciples? His disciples scratching their head. Like, he's a rich guy. That means he must be, he's blessed. No, that's sort of like Jewish theology that gets sort of mixed up. And if you look at here, you find out that God had a purpose. And that for his suffering. And James says, count it all joy, brethren, when you go through various trials, knowing that those trials are there to build what? Character. No trials, no building of character. And James says, he calls it patient endurance. Trials are actually good for us if we look at them. Look, if we live for this world and you get, okay, I'm going to use a hypothetical. You live for this world and you get the diagnosis that you have cancer. You're living for this world. You're going to become bitter. Why me, God? Why me? And why has this happened to me? And those are legitimate questions, okay? I'm not minimizing anybody anywhere's suffering. I'm not. But it's true, isn't it? If we live, if all our eggs are in this basket, and then we get, a diagnosis, then we can become very bitter about it. But trials are not for us to become bitter. Trials are for us to become better. Better. And it's our attitude towards these things. And if we know it ahead of time, like I said, our expectations, we're in a battleground. This isn't Sunday school picnic, the world that we live in. It's not Sunday school picnic. Everything is good. Sun's out. Picnic, lunch, hot dogs. Richard's cooking, you know, we got everything we need. Nah, life isn't like that. It's short. It's full of trouble. Job, he didn't understand everything, but he understood some wonderful things. And Job's friends lived on experience. And that's why they were rigid in their theology. It was experience. Look, bad things happened. You know, and the question really is, and people have asked this for the last thousands of years, why do bad things happen to good people? It's a good question, isn't it? Why do bad things happen to good people? Well, you get into the book of Job, and you really get answers to that. And some of it is, oh, the depths of both the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, his ways past finding out. Who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? That's what happened to Job, you know, at the end. Job learned repentance. He learned repentance. Because when you get to, let me finish with this. If you get to Job, let me show it to you. Now, God doesn't say anything to Job about his suffering. Nothing. Doesn't say a word. But here's what he said. Who is this? 38. Look at 38. Chapter 38, verse 2. Verse 1 says, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man, and I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you? Where were you, Job? Where were you? And Job was a great man of faith. If you read through those 38 chapters, you'll realize that even his friends and Job, they really believed. They had no issue with the Creator God. Isn't it interesting, you know? By faith, it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, by faith, we understand. You want to be in the Hall of Faith? We're mentioned there before any of those patriarchs are. Look at verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 11. You want to be in there? Do you believe that God created the heavens and the earth and he just spoke it into existence? Put your hand up if you believe that. You're in the Hall of Faith. Hallelujah. Right? No, you are. Right, I wrestled with that. I would turn all my teaching, all of it, was evolutionary biology. You go into secondary school, you go primary school, secondary education, post where our dear friend Brent is a professor. Go there. It's all evolutionary biology. You'll never even hear the other side of it. But by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Do you believe that, Christian? I know you do. And I'll tell you something. You don't have to twist yourself into a pretzel trying to figure out God. Because God said, where were you when I did it? You weren't there. You weren't there. But I believe it. I believe it. And he says, Job, where were you? Where were you? Were you there? No, I wasn't there. And Job says, okay, he comes to him and he goes, look at verse chapter 40, verse 4. Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand over my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yes, twice, but I will proceed no further. You know what he was saying? I'm going to shut up now. I don't understand everything about God. How could God be God if you understood everything about him? Right? Especially with our little, go to the grocery store and look for 2% milk, okay? It's about the size of your brain. No, maybe 5. I'll give you 5, okay? No, really. Sin has affected this brain of ours even. And he says, look at chapter 42. And this is Job learning repentance. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything. Stop right there. I know that you can do everything. I'll tell you, my friend, I remember sitting October the 16th. 1982, in a pew in Timmins, Ontario, the first time I ever heard the Bible preach, honestly, never heard it before. And I sat there, my 4 kids were in Sunday school in the basement. We were in an evangelical church, a little Bible chapel in Timmins. I sat in the front row. And Chester Donaldson opened the book and he said, open to Genesis. I didn't even have a Bible. But there was a pew one there, and it said, open to Genesis. I know what Genesis means, the beginning. So, oh, good. You know, this is what I was saying. Good. I guess every Sunday, they go through the whole Bible. And my wife's going, oh, no. He's going to go through the whole Bible. But he said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and And Chester stopped there and for the next 35 minutes talked about that. And here I was, an evolutionary biologist, hook, line, and sinker. Never questioned those idiots that were teaching me. Sorry, Brent, I didn't mean you. Okay? Because it was in everything I took. Everything I took. Well, no wonder you got a sore back. Because you're a gazillion years old and you were meant to walk on all fours. And when you stood up, you idiot, you got a sore back. Eh? I believe that. Okay. No, but then think of that. Think of the transformation. It's a repentance, really. He says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And in my mind, as he said that, stopped. Here's Tony Martin sitting in the front row. True story. I go, you know what? I'll never question God again. If it's in his word and it says it, I believe it. That doesn't settle it. But God said it. That settles it. And you know what? I'll tell you what liberation that is. And Job understood that. And Job said, you know what?
I don't understand what happened to me. I don't understand everything, God.
I don't understand. I don't understand the way you do things, but I trust you that all things will work out for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. All things will work out. Christian, we have to live on that. Trust God. Trust God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again, O God, for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for him. Thank you, Father, as we go through the book of Job, just in a cursory way, Father, that, Lord, there's so much in there. There's so much blessing and so much wisdom, Father, and thank you for the word of God, Lord. And I pray for each and every one tonight. I ask you to bless them, to honor them. Lord, challenge them if they need to be challenged. And Lord, that we would come clean, Father, with you. Any hurts that we have, that we would hand them over. The Lord Jesus said, come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. And Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.